preach a message tonight, Lord being my helper to do so, preaching, why, to whom, and where. Preaching, why, to whom, and where. I've got a message that's similar to this somewhat that I've preached, I believe I've preached here before, the preaching of the Lord, the preaching of God, or the preaching of the Lord. And but this has got a little bit different consideration that we want to look at. Those things are intermingled in there, but we want to just take a look at some things about preaching. The first question we want to ask tonight, why preaching? Why is it that preaching should be done? And years ago in that other message that I mentioned, and I believe that I think I've preached it here, I had some things that happened to me just in folks that I ran into, and you can be turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and heard a comment, and we've maybe all of us have heard these comments of that. Some will say to someone, some will say that somebody's getting preachy. Well, they're getting a little preachy with me. Have you ever heard that? No, don't get preachy with me. We had on visitation the other day, a fella said, well, listen, we don't need a sermon. We don't need a sermon right now. And the thing is when somebody says that, it's probably a real good sign that they do. They need the word of the Lord. They need to hear from God because they don't believe that they need the word of God. And so why is it that preaching is important? And we see here in 1 Corinthians how the apostle is addressing this church at Corinth, and he starts off with this. He greets them. He wants good things for them. He wants them to come, verse number 7, to come behind a no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He wants them to be confirmed unto the end, and he desires good things for them. And he goes on here and speaks to them about their division, saying who they're from. And he's saying in verse 13, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? They said, listen, we're following after the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not following after one another or any particular preacher or that. And then he goes here and he says in verse 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross to them is to them that perish foolishness. You know what? And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, you might be thinking, here's another message one more time I've got to endure. That's what that scripture's saying. But listen, listen to what the Word of God says. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The preaching of the cross. I'm not talking about It's not talking about the two posts that were there or the one post that was there that the Lord was nailed to. And in particular, there was there an object of cruelty. The scripture says that cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. It's talking about what happened there and who was nailed to that cross. Who was crucified there? Why? And for whom he was crucified. That's what it's talking about. And the preaching of that is foolishness to those that believe not. But to them, but to we that believe are saved, it's the power of God. For it is written, verse 19, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where's the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And the answer is yes. Yes. For after that, the wisdom, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And that's not talking about foolish preaching. It's talking about the perceived foolishness of preaching. But it is by that preaching that the truth of the Word of God is carried unto you and I, we that are saved. And it's by that that the Lord takes and sends His Spirit and uses His Spirit, and His Spirit moves to take that word that's been preached and prick our hearts and stir us up and change us. We need to be preached to, don't we? Preaching, the Lord's ordained it to be. In chapter 2, it goes on to say here, And the apostle speaking to them in verse number 3 of chapter 2, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 3. And I was with you in meekness and fear and in much trembling. The things that happened there at Corinth were kind of tough. These are Gentiles, these are pagans, and the Lord's touched them, saved them. They needed to be taught. They needed to be corrected. There was much affliction that the apostle came to them in. You can read about that in Acts. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That's the way preaching needs to be. It needs to be of the Lord, not some dissertation, not a sermonette for the Christianettes, but the Word of God coming out to us. And the Lord has ordained it to be. Over in chapter 15 of this same book, we see another reference here. And we see the gospel laid out here by the apostle in the first part of this chapter. And he says here in verse number 12, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." But the truth of it is, right kind of Spirit-filled from God preaching is not empty, is it? But it's the Word of God to us, to you and me, saved or not. Over here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, take a look over here real quick. 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul writing to the preacher, the pastor here, telling about how it was, how the Lord blessed him, and he's looking to be an encouragement to this young man. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 16, "At my first answer, no man stood with me." You know, but Apostle Paul, seemingly in the latter part of his ministry, became a very unpopular fellow. He became lonely. But he was called of God and sent to the Gentiles. And there were those that he tells us about that bailed out on him. If they come get me for preaching the gospel, you going to bail out on me? Well, the Lord won't. We need strength. "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge." That's what he said. Verse 17, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me," and that's our consolation, "and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." And so he said, the Lord worked in me to preach. And so the Lord has done this, to preach the gospel, to preach the Word of God. Titus chapter 1 says, "But the Lord hath in due times manifested His Word through preaching." That's how He gets His Word out there, through preaching, "which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior." In 2 Timothy chapter 4, take a look right over here on the page where you were. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 2, or verse number 1, the charge given from the elder apostle to the younger pastor. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word." Not philosophy, not things necessarily popular, but preach the word. Preach what God says. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke. We don't like those, do we? But that's what it says. Reprove, rebuke. Exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. What's the Word of God good? It's good for reproof, rebuke, and instruction in righteousness. And notice that 2/3 of those is correcting you and me. That's the Word of God comes to us. I mean, the children of Israel had a heart of rebellion, and we've got it in us too, don't we? I need it. I need to mortify this flesh. I need to nail and pin it down. I need to crucify it, this old mind. And Sunday, Lord willing, we'll be talking about that. But preach that word. Preach that word. And then in Acts chapter 16, it says here, now when they had gone throughout Pergia and the region of Galatia, listen, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. There was working there in that particular case that the Holy Spirit says, no, don't go that way. But when the Lord says and goes, says, go this way, go and preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. And so there it is. Why preaching? Because God has ordained it to be. Preaching the gospel. Preaching to others. We don't preach to anyone because we think that we're better than them. If that's the case of a preacher, he needs to do some soul searching. I'm a worthless, rotten worm of a sinner. I'm the worst sinner I know, and I need the preaching too. Every message I preach, I try to take that thing and I try to apply it to me. I want to find out where I'm at. I want to find out where I'm empty. I want to find out where I'm wayward. Because then how can I stand with any power and preach to another if I be found to be a hypocrite in it? There won't be any power for the hypocrite to preach. And so that's the reason that the Lord says that the man of God needs to be an example to the flock. I need to practice what I preach. Because if I don't practice what I preach, why would any of us or any of our children believe it? Amen? Right. Yeah. So that's a reason that it needs to be. Who needs to be preached to? Who is it that needs to be preached to? Well, in scriptures that we can find in the Bible, and they're there in the gospel specifically, unto the people John the Baptist preached, to the poor, to the captives, the Lord said in his calling, there quoting Isaiah. In Mark, it talks about to every creature this preaching goes out, to all nations the commission is given to his church, to them that are dead, it tells us in 1 Peter. That's who the preaching goes out to. Everybody needs preaching, saved and unsaved alike. In Mark chapter 16, take a look here. Mark chapter 16. Who needs preaching? Everybody needs preaching. We don't arrive at a point that we say, well, I don't need that. I've heard that over again. I've heard that over and over again. Listen, if the Word of God comes to you and you're settled in it, you're solid in it, you're grounded in it, and it comes to you yet again, does it get to the point to where it bores you? If it does, something's wrong. Something's wrong. But the truth of God's Word, when it be expounded and be brought out, we need to rejoice in it. And yes, it's incumbent upon the man of God to preach the whole counsel of God. Now, I don't need to have a hobby horse, if you will, one thing that I always preach or mention or something like that. Man, if I got tithing in every message, there's some account about some preacher, and every time he preached, he got tithing in there somehow. And then he preached a message, and he said, well, there's no way that he's going to get, but sure enough, at the end, he got it in there somehow. I mean, everything needs to be preached about. All of it needs to preach. It's all good for us. But to who? Who needs to be preached to? In Mark chapter 16, look here how the Lord speaks to his church. In verse number 14, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Preach, 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 so that they might hear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? And these signs that shall follow, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. The Lord says, preach, preach, preach. Listen to what happened. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Listen. And they went forth and preached everywhere. And the Lord working with the Lord working with, the Lord making a promise and working with His people, His men, His witnesses, and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Otherwise, if this preaching doesn't go out to everyone, saved and unsaved, then how is it that it can be heard? If the Lord's kind of church doesn't do the preaching that the Lord has called us to do, then how will saved and unsaved sinners hear? Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Look at this. Look at this. This chapter here is speaking about the rest, the threefold rest of the Lord that is there for us. And I want to just see how it is here, how preaching goes out unto everyone and how it should go out from everyone. In verse number 1 of Hebrews 4, it says, "Let us therefore fear lest a promise of being left, a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well unto them, saved, unsaved, those that were saved because of the preaching of that gospel, those that were not saved. It went out unto all. It went out to all. Unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." The preaching goes out so sinners can hear. The truth of God's word in any wise goes out so saved and unsaved sinners can hear. So the saved can be built up. So the saved can be corrected. So the saved can be edified and strengthened. So those in the Lord's kind of church can be built up and edified, built up in His church. So those that are unsaved can hear the message of salvation, the gospel, the good news of the Lord, that salvation and forgiveness of sins is there for the repentant and the believing. Preaching goes out. And here this passage tells us some took it and heard it and believed, and some did not. "For unto us was this gospel preached, as well to them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As He said, as I have sworn in my wrath, that they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." Verse 6, "Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief." Will the preaching be believed? To the unsaved, if the preaching of the Word of God is believed unto salvation, they will have life. To we that are saved, if we believe what is preached, it will help us. We will be blessed of the Lord in seeing His way and will and word. So who needs preach to? Everybody. Then we take a look at where. Where do we need to go and preach? Where do we need to go and preach? The Lord Jesus Christ has come. He's had that time of growing up, that 30 years to come grow into a man in his prime at 30 years old. The Spirit of God is in him, and he is full of the Spirit of God. He is God. Scripture says John the Baptist gave testimony that the Lord Jesus Christ had the Spirit of God without measure. Why? Because He's God. He's God. Even though He's a man, He's God. And the Spirit, it was time for Him to start His ministry, and He worked in that ministry that the Father had called Him to for those 3 years. And then it came time He gave His life. And then it came time He rose from the dead. And then it came time that He was with His church there between His resurrection and Pentecost for that 40 days, teaching them, reminding them, showing them the Old Testament scriptures. And then He goes back to sit on the right hand of God, like we read. Now, what's His church doing? Where's His church preaching? What is it that they do? Well, let's consider the temple. At this point in time that I've just described to you, is there any virtue of service? is there any place of worship and service in the temple now? Come on, commit. No, no, there's not. There's not. Turn over here real quick in John chapter 4. Let's read this, and then we're going to go on to another passage. John chapter 4. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ told the woman at the well there at Sychar? He said, "Woman," John 4:21, he saith unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father." The temple's going to be put out of business. Remember how it says over there in Matthew chapter 27? Let's take a look at that. You remember what that says? What is this all about? What is this all about? Matthew 27, verse number 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice there on the cross, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Hebrews tells us that through his flesh, through the veil, that is his flesh, he took care of those things in the Holy of Holies, not on earth, but in heaven. When the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, temple sacrifice, temple worship, temple everything was out of business. Right? Was there any virtue of worship and service to God in the temple anymore? No. Where was it? In his church. Not in a building that they had, not in an upper room that they had, but with the Lord's people. That's what the Lord was talking about to the woman there at the well at Sychar. He says, not in this place, not in Mount Gerizim, I believe is where she was, not down there in Jerusalem, but in spirit and in truth with the Lord's people, with my ecclesia, my assembly, my church. So then this being the case, the Lord being resurrected in this time here, even if we take it beyond Pentecost, what do we find the church doing? Acts chapter 2. They're meeting together. They're worshiping together. They're being together there in the upper room as we have those accounts between Pentecost and the Lord's resurrection, that time that Thomas wasn't there, and then the next week when Thomas was there, they're meeting together on the first day of the week and the Lord meeting with them and teaching them and such. But what are they doing otherwise? Listen here in Acts chapter 2, verse number 46. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. They went, they preached in the church. But they went and preached in the temple too. Did they not? They did. They preached in the temple. And so we go on down here in Acts chapter 3, verse number 1. What's it say? Acts 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. A certain man was lame. He was healed. They continued on to the temple. And so when they got to the temple, in verse number 8, and he, the man healed, stood up and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he that sat for alms. And Peter and John preached to him, said, verse number 12, and when Peter saw it, he answered to the people, and ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this, or look on earnestly on us? But this man's been healed by Jesus Christ. There in the temple, they preached. The temple being out of business. And then it goes on to chapter 4, verse number 1. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and certain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. In the temple. In the temple. Was the ceremonial law in effect and yet ordered by God? No, it's done. Was the service of the temple still in effect and still in the works? Not at the order of the Lord. But they went there and preached to the people that were there. Interesting, isn't it? In chapter 5, look what the Lord tells one here. In Acts chapter 5, verse number 17, and the high priest rose up, and they were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, were filled with indignation, laid their hands on the apostles, put them in a common prison. Listen, but the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors, brought them forth, and said, "Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." Yes, they preached in the church, but they went out to those that needed to hear. Even in the temple. There's other scriptures that we could look at that go on from this. In verse number 42 of this chapter, you can take a look. And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. And we can go on that we're in Acts chapter 21, Paul going to the temple. And to be there, to be a witness, to make a statement about how the Lord had saved him and changed him. And he talks in Acts chapter 22 how that he gives an account here. In Acts chapter 22, verse number 17. Giving the account and testimony of his, a witness of how he was saved and how the Lord visited him. And now why tarriest thou, verse 16 of Acts 22, arise, be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. And saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. Paul went to preach and teach at the temple. Was it a place sanctioned and ordained by God for worship? No. Did the apostles go there and preach? Yes. After the Lord's death, let's look at this next. After the Lord's death and resurrection, was the synagogue the place to go and worship? Did the synagogue have any virtue of worship and service with the Lord? No. It was in his church. With his people assembled together to worship him and hear preaching and singing and such as that as we do today. Yet the disciples went there to preach, didn't they? Acts chapter 13. Let's take a look. Acts chapter 13. That which had been done at the synagogue was no longer there, because what the synagogue did was pointed to the temple. And where does the Lord want folks to worship? In his church. In his church. But they went and preached even in the synagogue. Acts chapter 13. Now, verse number 13. Acts 13, 13. Now, when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, and they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John departing from them returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch and Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law of the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, "Ye men and brethren, have ye any word of exhortation to the people? Say on." And Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand, said. He preached, didn't he? He preached. They're in the synagogue. They're in the synagogue. Acts 17. Acts 17. Acts 17, verse 10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night to Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Why? To preach. They went there to preach. Chapter 19. Chapter 19. Verse number 6, and when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Was the temple the place of worship and service for the Lord? No, it had been shut down by Jesus Christ. Was the synagogue the place of worship and service to the Lord? No, it had been done away and shut down by the Lord Jesus Christ. Where is it? Well, it's hard to really see the where because it's not marked by an address. But when the Lord's people, His church, His assembly in a place comes together, that is the place of worship. But that being the case, did they go to the temple and preach? Yes. Did they go to the synagogue and preach? Yes. Even to Mars Hill. Acts 17. Acts chapter 17. Verse number 15. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given unto idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews. There he is in the synagogue. And with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. And some said, "What will this babbler say?" Others some, "He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him to Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is?" That's Mars Hill. That is the epicenter of paganism in Greece. "For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else, but either to tell or to hear some new thing." Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by, he was looking around. He was checking things out as he was on his way. And beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you.'" He preached even to the pagans on Mars Hill. Why? Because everyone needs to hear the preaching of the Lord. Everybody. Everybody needs to hear the preaching of the Lord. Everybody needs to hear it. Just everybody, the saved, need to hear it to be built up. The one that's hanging on to religion, hanging on to that as their salvation, they need preached to that they might see Jesus. The sinner that doesn't give a lick about God, he needs Jesus preached to him. The truth of God's word to the saved that don't know about the Lord's church, they need preached to about the Lord's church, that they may hear, that they may know, that they may see the wondrous works of God and the blessing that he has for us in his word. Preaching needs to go out. Preaching needs to go out. The Apostle Paul declared and preached to the end. In Acts chapter 28, we see the zeal of the apostle as Luke finishes out this book and this account that he is writing to Theophilus. He's to the one that he writes to and tells about there in the beginning of the book, the one that he wrote the book of Luke to, the Gospel of Luke to, and we have that now here as he wraps this up, and we have this last known scriptural account of Paul's life in Acts 28, verse 30. "And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house there in Rome, and received all that came unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him." And look over here in Philippians. Look over here in Philippians as he writes to this church, and he writes to them about those things that he's experienced and gone through. those things that have come his way, those things that haven't been real fun for his body. But listen to what he says about preaching and his joy about preaching going out. In verse number 11 of Philippians chapter 1, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather into the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife. They're glad I'm chained up here. They're glad, and some of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. They preach to make it harder on me. When it gets down to it, and by their own testimony and their way of life and their walk, I know they don't mean it, but they preach it the way I preach it, to bring a squeeze and a hardship and more oppression on me. And he says, I know it's so. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. The other of love, knowing that I'm set for the defense of the gospel, knowing that the right preaching of the word of God will cause the apostle strife, will cause him grief, will cause him hardness. But yet knowing that, goes ahead and preaches the truth so it might go out. And what's he say? What then? Verse 18, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Preaching needs to go out to people. Oh, me. So what about a church that's not the Lord's? Aren't they like those there at Mars Hill? Aren't they there like those at the temple? Aren't they like those there at the synagogue? Yeah. They need to hear the preaching of the truth so they can know. If they're not saved, they need to hear to be saved. If they are saved, they need to hear about the Lord's church. They need preaching. So now, bringing it down to application in our life. All need to be preached to. And there is no one that we should ever withhold preaching from. But what we have to be careful of in our day is supporting of ministries, unqualified ministers, going and engaging and preaching in a place that would give a sanction to a minister that's not qualified. We need to watch and be careful about fellowship with those that are not Baptists. We need to watch that. Yes, they need preach too. But we don't want to sanction something and give an approval to it. It can be a precarious line. I told you when you questioned me that if I got an opportunity to preach anywhere, I would go and preach. But if they tried to hold me down or line me up a certain way or tell me I couldn't preach on this or tell me I couldn't preach on that, then I wouldn't go. But then there is consideration that does need to be given for going to a place, going to a quote-unquote church. They are an assembly, but they're not an assembly of the Lord's. And giving a sanction to a minister that shouldn't be a minister, like a woman that's there as a minister. We don't need to go and engage ourselves and give a sanction to that. It's not right. If we can go and preach and do just that, then I think we should well go. But if we go and we give a sanction, an approval of a thing by being present there, we have to be careful and watch for that. We got to watch this fellowship. with those that are non-Baptist or with Baptists so-called. We have to watch and be careful about conferences and ecumenical worship services and such as that. We got to watch. Examples, to give you an example, if I got an invitation to preach at a worship service and there was going to be a Catholic and a Methodist and a Presbyterian and this and that and the other and me, I probably wouldn't go because I would have to sit there and endure that which they purport. And they don't have the truth. They don't. But if I could go in and preach my time and leave, I would do it. But that's an example for you about it. There's differences in even maybe secular functions. We have to use wisdom about that. Maybe there would be some event and they would have someone come and pray or maybe even preach a message. We have to weigh, is there a drive towards a worship service or is this a secular function? There has to be wisdom about it. But all people need to hear preaching. And when there's an opportunity to go and preach, we need to go and preach so that those that are there can hear the truth, using wisdom so we don't support something that we shouldn't support. 2 John chapter 2, 2 John chapter 1. 2 John chapter 1. 2 John verse 7. This is what we have to watch out for. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. There it is. Doctrine. What a person believes establishes about who they have as Savior and whether they know about the Lord's church or not. Bottom line. Bottom line. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. That's what the Lord says. So, one that might let me come and preach, I might go and preach, but I might not let them come preach for me. Because it all boils down to the doctrine that they have, that they hold to. Preaching. Why? To whom? And where? Why? Because God has ordained it. To whom? To everybody. Everybody we have an opportunity to. Where? We need to be careful. We need to be careful to whom?